And you're back listening to the Monday Afternoon Show on WGXC. My name is Noah Reibel, and I'm here with my co-host, Melinda Bratton. And we've got a lot of guests in the studio. So will you guys introduce yourselves and then tell us what we're listening to in the background there?
My name's Olivia Williams. I'm from Operation Unite, and you are listening to Dear Visitors. It doesn't really have an official title, but we call it Dear Visitors. It's from Asupa School. It's in Palisa. It's a secondary school. It's a primary school, sorry.
And who else is here?
My name is John Macker. I'm 16, and I'm from Hudson, and I am in 11th grade.
Okay. Who are you?
My name is Jennifer Ben. I'm with Operation Unite, and
Hi, I'm Elena Mosley, Director of Operation Unite Education and Cultural Arts Center. I am here today with our students who did our youth exchange program to Palisa, Uganda. We have two students who are not here yet. Daniel Javor Brown is on his way, and he should make it before the end of the show. We also have John Wick Nathan, who attended but has already left for college, so he won't be joining us. However, we will be sharing all of the information about our trip. We also have with us Atia Begg, who did not go on the trip, but she is part of our Youth in Action program, and she's with us today as well.
And so you guys just recently returned from a two-week kind of cultural youth exchange trip to Uganda. You were in Kampala, the capital, and Palisa. And I don't know where you guys want to start. Who wants to start talking about what they were? Because you guys were doing a lot of things. You were doing literacy programs. You had a solar energy project at a hospital in Palisa and at the Palisa Market. Where do you guys want to start?
Well, I'll start with some of the history and why we went to Palisa, Uganda.
Great.
In 2005, Carol Gans, who's a retired principal from John L. Edwards School, Susan Saltman, who is a resident of Hudson, and myself went to Palisa, Uganda to set up a sister cities program. And we did the assessment and decided that Palisa, Uganda was going to be a perfect match for Hudson. In 2006, Operation Unite sponsored the first youth exchange trip to Palisa, Uganda. And I had identified three schools that I wanted to work in, and also projects at the hospital, for mainly for equipment and such, because there really wasn't anything there. And more recently, we've had some projects in Palisa through the Hudson Rotary. I also am a Rotarian, and began doing projects. We did a solar oven project. We sent solar ovens there. So in 2011, November, Carol Gans, my husband Greg Mosley, and myself went to Palisa, Uganda to evaluate the solar oven projects that the Hudson Rotary had sponsored, and also to set up this youth exchange program that you're going to hear about today. So in a nutshell, that's like a brief history of how we got to Palisa, Uganda, and our students are going to tell you about the different projects and wonderful experiences that they had while they were there.
Terrific. So which of you guys wants to start out?
I'm going to start out with literacy. While we were in Uganda, we read to the children of the public and private schools, and we read two books in particular. One was called Margaret and Margarita, and the other was what was it called? Something about a mooncake. Round as a mooncake. And we read the Margaret and Margarita because it was about this girl who is Spanish. And we thought this was a good book to read because they aren't really familiar with that culture in Uganda. And we also taught them Spanish as well. And we asked them questions about the book that we read, and they answered back in Spanish. The teachers were also really excited about us reading to the children because they don't have that many guest speakers at their schools.
How old were the students at the school?
The students?
Yeah.
They were four to eight.
Very young.
Yeah, they were pretty young.
And what were the classrooms like over there? What was the school building or the school?
The classrooms, they were pretty big because they have to fit a lot of children in one room. like here, there's many different classrooms for one grade, but there it's you just try to shove everyone in one room.
So how many students were there in the classroom when you were reading, would you say?
Perhaps 30, 30? I would say, 35. At least.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, because what we did was I knew a lot about the schools and the class sizes of 105 and 150 students. So in our schools, I was able to control what we did because we wanted to be successful and we wanted to make sure that what this our students were bringing would benefit the students on the receiving end. Gotcha. So we did groups of 30 and then broke it up into groups of 15 where literacy would be going on with one half, and then there was something else that Johnny will tell you what they were doing with the other half.
While we were reading to the children with the literacy work, the other half was playing the game day that they had.
Uh-huh.
They had with, I'm going to move it on to Jennifer.
Okay.
The classrooms were actually normally pretty big because at the one school, Osupa, one classroom was like 100 kids, and like we had to break it down in groups to work with them because it was so hard to deal with a massive amount of kids at one time. And that was pretty interesting to me because, you know, I think 28 kids in a class is a lot for me. I don't like learning with like a whole bunch of kids there, and I don't know, I like the more.
And Jen, so you were also helping out with the, tell me a little bit about the solar energy ovens and the solar energy projects you guys were doing over there.
Well, we had a solar oven project at the hospital because in Palisa, the hospital does not have any food for the patients. So it's really, they don't get food unless they have somebody that lives close by to them or somebody could bring it to them. So this program that we helped set up was a program to give the patients at least two meals a day, and we were cooking things like rice, porridge, and potatoes, and every day we would all go out and help cook, and it was a fun experience. You know, I was laughing at Olivia cutting the potatoes.
I cut those potatoes pretty darn good.
So she says she went a little slow. It was fun.
And who's this? Who just came in and joined us?
Daniel.
Hey, Daniel. How's it going?
Good.
So it looks like you were involved in the solar energy project too, right? At the secondary high school?
Yes. It was back in November when Miss Mosley went to Africa. She went to Palisa Secondary School, which is a high school pretty much. Mm-hmm. And she toured the school, and they had, like, no lighting at all. So she left them with a task first, was to create a logo for a solar club.
Uh-huh.
And when we went back this year in June, we checked up on the task that we left them with, and we got six hats back from them. We chose three out of the six hats. Two were for the Solar Club logo, mm-hmm. and one was for the Operation Unite Youth Exchange logo. We also like had future plans with them for the internet to communicate back and forth with us, and to also go online and look up college applications and so on and so forth.
Sounds like an amazing trip. What were some of your guys? I'm just curious, like, what were some of your initial, what were some of your impressions of how the schools and hospitals over there compare with what you guys think of as school or medical facilities here in Hudson?
This is Olivia.
Yeah, hi, Olivia.
There's a massive difference. First of all, this is not the first world nor the second world. It's the third world. So it's like different atmosphere, different behavior, hospitality, whatnot. So going into the schools there, it's different for me because everybody looked the same. You know, everybody had the shaved heads and everybody was the same complexion. You have one somebody that was like Indian looking. And the only reason that differentiate each student from each other was that fact that boys wore trousers and pants and girls wore skirts. And that they were from different tribes, meaning that they can speak different language from each other. So, like, going into the Hudson High School or the high school in our community, you can judge by, you know, just looking at the person. You'll have one student wearing a head wrap or one student, like, from different colors of skin. They are, like, the same color of skin, and the reason how they differentiate is that the language that they speak. So that was what wooed me about.
Oh, yeah. Because there are several different dialects in the same region there, right?
Right. Like in Kampala, which is a city of Uganda, everybody has a different language than Palisa, which is also in Uganda, but it's in different locations. And also, like, it's like where your mother and father comes from as well.
And do you want to talk at all, Olivia, about you guys visited River of God Orphanage in Kampala and also one in Palisa, right? No?
I'll tell you about that later.
No? Okay.
There's another one. We can do it later, but...
Okay.
I guess somebody has something to say before that.
Gotcha.
Jennifer.
Jen. Hi, Jen.
Yeah, well, my initial view of the hospital, I was just like, wow, because, I thought it was a little weird because, like, our hospital is just all one big giant building, and, like, their hospital was, like, little mini buildings connected by, like, corridors, and, like, you have to go outside to go to one ward, and, like, I don't know how to explain it, really, but, like, I don't know. That was really surprising to me, and I hear the bathrooms at the hospital.
It's absolutely disgusting. Because
this was at the hospital in Palisa.
Yeah, it's a lot different than, like, our toilets or anything. Like, it's just, like, a hole in the ground.
In the ground.
And, like, you would have to squat to
it. Doesn't flush.
It's just, like, a hole in the ground.
And it has, it's called a latrine. And you have to, like, trudge outside, rain or sunshine, to go use that bathroom to squat in that hole, praying that you make it, and then come out and trudge back into the rain or sunshine.
Right.
I think one of the biggest things that shocked me was one day when we were at the hospital cooking, and we saw a patient coming out from the operating room. He was rolled out on, like, a cart that you would, like, pack boxes on to put them into the store.
A shopping cart?
No, not a shopping cart. Like, you know when they load them off the truck?
Okay.
And, like, those carts, it was just, like, a rusty metal one like that, and that's what he was rolled out on, and that was, like, yeah, and yeah, it was really sad to me.
What about you, Johnny?
My initial reaction was how different the hospital there is from here. Like, here we see the patient as a priority. Like, we have to take care of them as much as possible to recover them. But in Uganda, it's quite different. They don't, like, their tools during operation are different than ours, and just they're not as sanitary as we are as well. It must be because of their economy, they can't afford as much as we can. But I thought it was pretty different. It was very
like, some of their tools was, like, from the 1960s.
It seemed like they were kind of antiquated tools, things from that you might have seen in America 20 or 30 years ago in a hospital.
Yeah, it's not very updated.
And Daniel, do you want to talk at all about the Ox and Plow project or some of these other, looks like this is under women's group?
Yeah, was also back in November, Mr. and Mrs. Mosley. They got the opportunity to meet a group of women, which were also marketer type of farmer women. And before, they were only doing their plowing and everything by hand. So they asked us to buy an oxen plow team. And they, Mr. and Mrs. Mosley did, but they came back and complaining that they bought the ox, they bought the plow, but they didn't buy the harness for the ox and plow.
Okay.
And what Mr. Mosley did was he came back to the U.S. and he fundraised, apart from our trip, he fundraised for the women's group and raise money for them, for the their oxen plow team. And he came up with groups of women, 10 in one group. And he said, you have one ox, one plow. And when you raise enough money to buy another one, that group can have this one. So they pretty much had to self-invest for themselves and put money in a pool in a bank for all their expenses. And when we went to visit these women, they had traditional performances for us. They sing, they dance, and we also brought a little activities for them. We brought games for the kids. Mm-hmm. But when we explained everything to them and we asked them to come up and get a potato sack or get a three-legged race tie, the adults hopped in first. It wasn't the kids that reacted. It was the adults.
The kids were just kind of shy.
Yeah, the kids were really shy. The adults were more out there to hop up first. It was not until like four games after the adults stopped and the kids hopped in. But yeah, before we left, they had more performances for us. And they couldn't stop thanking us for what we were doing for them and what we're going to be doing for them in the future.
And what about the council meeting? It sounds like you guys met some of the town officials there. Is that right?
Yes, we had a meeting with them. Let me just say something real quick. The Hudson City Hudson Sister Cities partnered with the Rotary Club of Hudson, shipped 2 tons of books to Palisa, Uganda. Carol Gantz organized a collection of books that will be distributed to schools and to Palisa Library. Solakwa of Chatham, New York, assisted with the packing and shipment procedures. Operation Unite Youth Exchange students will spend some hours assisting Ms. Gans with the library. So we had a meeting with the council meeting. We talked about the future events, if we ever go back there. One of the most important ones was the library. We sent 2 tons of books to Palisa for the children in schools. And this was they're going to hire a librarian as soon as possible.
Yep.
We also gave them the lights, the solar lights,
solar spotlights
to try out, and they liked it a lot. They liked this. That's something we might get into when we go back there.
Not only did they like those lights a lot, it really touched them that we gave them such a little thing. Like, these are garden solar lights that we just put in our garden, and we gave them to them. And somebody actually started crying and pouring out in tears and thanking us and giving us big hugs and kisses. And we were just, like, taken back as to how grateful she was just for the little garden solar light that we gave her.
Another thing that we got to do was we stopped by and visited an orphanage in Kampala. Now, it was very rainy when we went there, and the clay is not like, it's clay other than just regular dirt. So all the little kids in Kampala, they didn't have shoes nor that much clothing. And this orphanage was run by a man named Ronnie, who basically just picked up kids from the streets and put them in a house, which didn't have lighting or well, like, sanitary kitchens or even bathrooms. The bathrooms were outside. So when we first got in there, we were greeted by kids. Some of them didn't have names. Some of them, you know, there was one deaf and mute kid who just had a sign saying his what he would like to be called and whatnot. And the first room that we got to visit was I thought it was a one-car garage to put our car in while we visit the orphanage, but it's actually their living space. Their living space is the size of a one-car garage. There was one bunk bed with no chemically treated malaria nets, which is terrible because, you know, that's the leading cause of deaths over there. And there was, like, several pieces of dirty sponged mats laid out on the floor. No blankets or nothing, but I guess they are grateful because it's better than staying in that one-car garage than laying out on the streets and begging. Ronnie was able to teach the kids simple stuff like simple math and simple English and science and whatnot from, like, little mats from back in the 90s. And their kitchens wasn't like our regular kitchens, like one Bunsen burner and one Dutch pot, which is, like, one intense hardcore pot, And that was the orphanage that we visited in Kampala.
We also got the opportunity to do arts and crafts with all the kids that we visited. We did arts and crafts at the orphanage. We did them at the two primary schools, and we did things like the connect the dots to help the younger kids with their numbers, and we did like counting activities with them, and we also did like we made visors with them and bags and notebooks, and this is really fun. The kids got an opportunity to express their creativity because they don't have art classes like we do, so it was really good for them and it was really fun.
We also ended everything with game day at Palisa schools such as Usupa and St. Jude's, sorry. We did games, we did songs, and we just did whatever they wanted to do pretty much. We also had the wheelbarrow race that we taught them, which we set up as a relay race, and that didn't go as planned. Everything was just bad. But, yeah, we ended everything off with a game day. We played Duck Duck Goose. We played, what else? Three-legged race with them. And we also sung songs such as the Hokey Pokey, Ring Around the Rosie, Old McDonald. And they had fun.
Well, it sounds like an amazing trip that was really, really, you guys put a lot into that schedule. Like you packed a lot into 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So if you guys head back in, say, a year, what would you hope to find there? Like, do you hope that the stuff, you guys have some.
Maybe we could talk about there. Elena, do you want to talk about what's happening tomorrow? So if people are curious about your trip, that you could learn more about it.
Yeah. Sure. Tomorrow, Tuesday, we are having a public presentation of our Uganda Youth Exchange trip, and it's going to take place at the Hudson Opera House, which is located at 327 Warren Street in Hudson. The doors will open at 6:15, and the presentation will be at 6:30. We have lots of pictures, and we're going to run a running slideshow going on so that anyone coming could really get a good idea of all the things that we did, the people that we met, the city officials, the hospital officials. There's pictures of everybody there. And our participants here will also be singing some of the songs that they learned, and will also do one of the dances from the traditional dance steps that they learned as well. So I think it's going to be a wonderful presentation, and we hope that anyone who is interested would come. It's free of charge, so bring friends and family.
So 6:30 tomorrow night at the Hudson Opera House, and you'll have a presentation of the Operation Unite Youth Exchange Program and what they were doing over in Uganda, in Kampala and Palisa. Olivia, you were making a lot of recordings while you were over there, I noticed, because you've been doing a lot of radio production here.
Yeah, I try.
Yeah. Should we go out and do you want to should we go out with one of these songs or recordings that you made here? Is there one that's a particular favorite? Which file here?
It's called Move As One.
Move As One?
Yeah.
Okay, I think I see it.
I really like that one. All it's right. By this Palisa Secondary School, which is like a high school. And there's like a thousands and thousands of kids there. Well, you know, not a thousand, just a thousand, but they sang that song.
And this is a song they sang for you guys?
That's the song they sang, yeah.
Okay. So I want to thank you guys so much for coming by. And if you have a chance, get down to the Hudson Opera House tomorrow at 6:30, and you'll be able to see as well as hear more about this amazing trip. Thanks a lot, you guys.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having us.
All right. You're listening to WGXC 90.7. Stay tuned. We'll come back with some more music and some more guests on the Monday afternoon show.
That's good.